even coronavirus can't keep us apart. Because we love you so much. From all of us at Bashani Radio app, stay safe.
Stay safe.
Stay home.
Stay home.
And keep us blasting on your phones. Bashani Radio app, always talking about everything. Download us free in the App Store. Kaboom! You heard?
Broadcasting from Bashani Radio, iHeart, iTunes, Spotify, live from New York City, this is the Linda Monroe Show, and I am Linda Monroe. If you want to know more about me and what I do, go to lindamonroe.com. Again, I ask that you go to Google Play and download Bashani Radio and listen to my broadcast on the go. Again, this week, I had the opportunity to bring back my friend, Dr. William Burton. He's going to drop some nuggets on you today. Hi, Dr. Burton. How you doing?
Hello, hello, hello. I hope you're having a wonderful day.
Yes, yes. Glad to have you back on my show today. So I
thank you for the invite.
Good, good. Know you got some good nuggets for my listeners today. So today we'll be talking about the subconscious mind and how it affects you. So the first question I would like to ask you is to tell us about the difference between the conscious triple-digit IQ and the subconscious mind of spirit's four-digit IQ.
Well, I think I'm the first person to come up with this philosophy. But we know that the average IQ of the human mind is triple digits. You know, if you're really, really smart, it's up there 140 or something like that. But I started to deduce that the subconscious mind is a million times more intelligent than the conscious mind. And I said, my God, and I started talking to some very, very heavy-duty people about this, and we all started to deduce this and that. And so we finally came up with the fact that the subconscious mind had a four-digit IQ instead of a three-digit IQ. And the main reason we started to realize that this could be possible was that we realized that the subconscious mind is more connected to the spirit than the conscious mind. And people said, well, how can that be? Well, I'll tell you how it can be. The subconscious mind never sleeps. Now, we know that anything that that doesn't have to sleep has to be connected to God.
Yes.
You know, because if it's connected to man, man's got to get some rest, right?
Right.
You know, so we deduced that man could not create anything that didn't have to sleep. It's not possible, right? So it had to be created by God.
Yes, that's a fact.
That's a fact. Yeah, so that's how we came up with the conclusion that it was superior to our conscious mind. And that being said, I like to tell people, you know, when we're talking about meditation, we're going to be talking about meditation and all of that today. I said, when you're driving down the street and all of a sudden you don't know where you are, how many thousands of people have experienced that? You've gone down that same street 100 times and all of a sudden you missed your stop, right? And they said, well, I was spaced out. I go, well, where was your mind? He go, I don't know. I said, well, who was driving the car? I said, you didn't run off the road. You didn't get a ticket. You didn't run a stop sign. You didn't hit anybody. You were driving perfectly in your lane, but you weren't there. And that's the kind of intelligence that we're talking about. And I also informed them that that's what I call meditation, when everything around you melts. You know, and time disappears. That's what I call a meditation.
Great. Now, inform my listeners as to how you discovered that the subconscious mind was not physical but spiritual.
Well, here's one of the things that I discovered was, I got to tell you the story. Now, I went to a workshop in 1980. I was a struggling artist, you know. I opened on the road for Muddy Waters, John Lee Hooker, Cat Stevens, Yusef Islam was one of my fans. But I was still struggling. And so two of my friends were sitting with me, and they said, we want you to take a mind control class. And I got paranoid because I thought they were talking about somebody controlling my mind, right?
Okay.
And I wasn't having it, right? But they were talking about teaching me how to control my own mind, right? And so one person said to the other, is he going to take this class? These are my friends. I'm both female. And the other one says, I don't know. And I said, how much is the class? And they said, $300. And this is like 1970-something or 1980, you know. And I said, if I had $300, I'd go buy a sandwich, right? And so they were like, one person asked the other, is he going to take this class? And she said, yes, and opened her purse, pulled out her checkbook, wrote out a $300 check, and handed it to the other person and said, he's taking this class. And so when I walked into the class, the class was Landmark Education, and I walked into the class, and this was the whole, not the whole program, but this was a big part of the program, teaching you how much the subconscious mind knew. And just to give you an example, I think you were going to ask me about this later, but I want to jump ahead just to prove the point. The way I really got this, the way it was really driven home to me, was that some of my teachings say, name your subconscious mind. Give your subconscious mind a loving, kind name. And know that your subconscious mind is only 5 years old or younger. It never matures. And then I think about the scripture, which says, unless you become as a little child, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And I started thinking, well, that little child that lives within us is this mind of spirit connected to the higher self, the entity that, you know, communicates to you God's will, your higher self. And the people in AA and all of this, they get this because they've tried for many, many years to heal themselves of alcohol, but they couldn't heal themselves until they gave away their ego power to their higher selves. So a friend of mine asked me to play at a party for her. Her friend was a published author, bestseller author, just like you, right? And she said she just got her seventh book published, and they want to have a party, and they want you to play music. And I write original music, and I think my lyrics are thought-provoking. And so I said, sure, I'll play. So when she came to pick me up, this friend says, I'm going to drive. You don't have to drive. I'll take you out there. I'll chauffeur you. And so when she came to pick me up, my inner child, which I have named IC, right? I technically call IC my inner Christ, right? But I let when I'm with psychologists and scientists and other people who are not spiritual, I call it my inner child, right?
Okay.
I said, so IC said to me, take that loaf of grain, 7-grain loaf of bread with you to the party. And my ego said, I'm not going to walk into these rich folks' house with a loaf of bread under my arm, right? And insinuate that they don't have everything they need, right? I'm not going to insult them like that. This is what my ego said. So what did I do? I left the bread. So ego wanted to be so right. When we got to the party, I went to the refreshment area looking for bread. And I always ask people in my workshop, did they have bread? What do you think? What is your answer to that? Huh?
They'll probably say no.
Well, they did say no. But these were rich people, and they had bread from 7 different countries. So my ego tells my subconscious self, see, that was a mistake. Right. My ego wants to be right, right? Still struggling with that ego. So at the end of the night, my friend says, you know, I lived on the outskirts of San Francisco, and she lived in downtown San Francisco in a penthouse. She says, you know, I really want to take you out to dinner, but it's really, really too late. She says, I've got to guest bedroom in my penthouse. Will you stay at my penthouse tonight? I'll take you to Garibaldi's to breakfast in the morning. So I said, oh, yeah. And the reason I said that was because when I wake up in the morning and come out into her living room, I can see half of San Francisco, right? And so I said, sure. So, and this is a liberated woman, and she was probably at that time, Eileen was probably the top therapist, psychotherapist in San Francisco, you know. And so a very popular, making a lot of money. And so I woke up and I smelled food. I said, oh, my God, this woman is cooking breakfast for me, right? So I yelled down the hallway, what is that fabulous smell I smell coming from the kitchen? And she said, I am cooking you a fabulous breakfast, you know. She said, but my maid forgot to buy
the bread.
The bread. She said, my maid forgot to buy bread. I said, it's my fault. She says, William Burton, you're so crazy. How is it your fault that my maid forgot to buy bread? And I said, I see he told me to take bread to the party. I could have thrown it in the back seat of the car. I said, I decided that I knew what was happening, you know. And I said, and I could have gone down to the car this morning and I would have breakfast. I said, oh, my God. My inner child was trying to perfect a breakfast for me that I did not know that I was going to get.
Right.
You know, and I said, it knew that I loved toast with my breakfast. And then I started pondering on this. You know, the scripture says meditate upon this. I started to meditate upon this, and I said, oh, my God. If there is something inside of me trying to fix a breakfast I didn't know that I was going to get, then there's something inside of me trying to fix my life. And I need to get on with the program and start to cooperate with my inner self. And that's when I started to realize how much more intelligent the subconscious mind was than the conscious mind.
Yes, it's definitely a lot more conscious than the conscious mind. Because,
yes,
you know, that is God talking to us.
Exactly. As my dad used to say, pre-exactly.
I tell you. Now, listen, this is going to blow your mind, listeners. This next question I'm getting ready to ask Dr. Burton. Tell us how you and your wife use the subconscious mind of spirit to manifest, check this out, your first Mercedes.
Okay. So, in San Francisco, when you drive a Mercedes, you know, I didn't have a Mercedes as a struggling artist, but I'd ridden with people who, some of my fans had Mercedes, you know, and some other friends had Mercedes. And when you drive a Mercedes and you meet another Mercedes driver, what you do is you beep your horn or you flash lights. They don't do it these days. People are not as sociable these days. But you beep your horn and flash your lights or wave to identify and communicate with another Mercedes driver, right? So my wife, she is so open-minded. I said, honey, the subconscious mind is like a little child, and it loves to play games. Let's create a game where we pretend to be a Mercedes driver, and every time we see a Mercedes, let's beep our horn or wave our hands or flash our headlights, right? And act like we're Mercedes drivers. Because I was saying that once you begin with the end in mind, the subconscious mind doesn't know reality from your beliefs, right? You know, it doesn't know the difference, right? So we started doing it, and, man, we started having fun. I mean, now grant you, we're riding in a Honda Hoopty, right? It's discolored, you know. And it don't look nothing like a Mercedes, right? It's 10 years old, you know. And so we're riding by, and these people look at us when we blow our horn and beep and wave at them. Like, are those people crazy? Do we know them? You know, and we're just driving people nuts. And they're just driving by looking back at us going, what the heck? You know. And so my wife got so intuitive that she could feel a Mercedes coming around the corner and says, I feel a Mercedes coming on. And by Jove, a Mercedes would come around the corner. Now, I want to remind you how this really works after I tell you the whole story. I'm going to tell you exactly how this works. And everybody listening is going to be able to identify with this. So after a while, we got so that we started to identify with Mercedes. And when you feel like you're a Mercedes driver and you identify with Mercedes, then they kind of pop up. You know, you start to see them. We went to an antique shop. My wife said, we're not rich, but we need to hang out where rich folks hang out. So we started going to antique shops where really expensive stuff was there, and we couldn't afford it. But we'd be in there enjoying it anyway, right? This man had a chocolate in mint condition, 1987 Mercedes, that I was sure he wasn't going to sell. And then one day we came into the shop, and he had a for sale sign on it. And I said, you're going to sell that Mercedes? And it was so mint condition. I thought he was going to say $30,000, $40,000. I said, how much for the Mercedes? And he said, oh, I'd let it go for $7,000. I'm like, oh, my God. He let this is a mint condition Mercedes, a convertible, or, you know, and oh, rag top's wow. Perfect and everything. I looked in the inside. It was immaculate. And I said, why are you selling that wonderful car? He says, sir, I got so many cars at home, I just can't get it in the garage, and I just hate to see it sitting out in the weather, not taken care of, and I've got to sell it. Lo and behold, my mother, who over her lifespan went to missions, Africa, everywhere, you've heard me talk about her, for 50 years, people just would give my mother money, right? I went to a convention with her one day, and we were walking through the food court, and people pressed $800 in her pocket, $100 at a time, before she got to her table. I mean, pressed it into her hand, and she'd show me another $100 bill. People were giving her. And so somebody gave my mother $20,000. Now, mother was not money-focused. So she gave me and my wife $10,000, and we went and bought that Mercedes. And we were wow. Extremely happy. But let me tell you how this works. You know, when you buy a new car, it doesn't have to be new, or another car. All of a sudden, you see a lot of cars that look like that popping up. You buy a red sports car, and all of a sudden, there's red sports cars everywhere. Have you noticed that?
Yes, I have.
Yes, because you are identifying with this car, and you kind of draw the attention of cars like yours to you. I mean, it happens to everyone. And so we figured out after the fact that when you teach your subconscious mind that you are this person, it starts to draw that to you, that you identify with. Some people identify with poverty, and they just keep it drawing to them. Now, let me tell you another way that I manifest things in reference to vehicles. Once I was riding the bus to work, and I would, even my friends would go by me. But I tell people I wasn't angry with them because I was standing at a bus stop on a very dangerous and very busy and very fast-moving street. So they couldn't stop to pick me up anyway without risking their lives, right? But God told me to start. I started blessing the Creator for their abundance. I wasn't sitting there, standing there mad, my jaws poked out because they wouldn't pick me up. You know, I started blessing the Creator for their abundance. And let me tell you, an older friend passed at work and left me a 2009 Toyota with like 109,000 miles on it, right, in immaculate condition. His lawyer called me on the phone and said, hey, come on over here. Oh, I forgot, you don't have a car. I'm coming to get you. And then when he picked me up, he says, I'm the executive for Sheldon's Wheel, and he just left you his car.
I got that
for not being jealous, but for being grateful for other people's abundance. And let me tell you right now, you need to start blessing everybody around you, because when you curse people, it comes back to you, and when you bless people, it comes back to you.
Yes, it does. I'm a witness to that.
Yes.
Now, how old were you when you bought a guitar, and what did you do?
I bought it. This is crazy. I bought a guitar when I was 30, right? I was going through a life crisis, just experienced a divorce, you know. And, you know, you experience a divorce, you're all over the place. And I said, well, I've always wanted to play guitar, so I bought myself a guitar. And every one of my friends said, you are too old to learn how to play guitar. And all that did was upset me, right? And so I started practicing, and I tried to take some lessons, but they were too fast, and they were confusing me. So I got me a couple of books. If you're a jazz lover, you probably know who Mickey Baker was. But if you're not a jazz lover, you remember way back in the day, Love is Strange by Mickey and Sylvia. You know, love is strange. You know, anyway, Mickey was a consummate jazz player, and he wrote this book. So I started trying to play his chords and everything. And a year later, I started writing songs immediately. And so a year later, a friend of mine called me and says, you want to play at a private party for Cat Stevens? They call him Yusef Islam now. And I said, Chump, you don't know Cat Stevens. And he says, you're right. But his best friend is my best friend. We're giving a little get-together for him, and we want you to play the music. And let me tell you, I went in there and I played music for him, and I wrote a song called Reese the Priest, because a friend of mine was a priest, and he told me, he says, God doesn't want me to be a priest anymore. And I said, what does God want you to do? He said, God wants me to open up a group home for 1 or 8 teenagers, and then I'm going to name it Harry's Mothers, and I'm going to make them call home and tell their parents that they're safe, that they're at Harry's Mothers. And he got it funded, right? Built the group home, and just people were writing about him in the newspaper. So I wrote this song about him. It said, the first one of the lyrics said, my friend Reese was a priest until he kicked the habit. He found God out in the street, not only in the Abbey. Some folks thought him crazy. Others thought him quite odd. He said a man don't need religion just as long as he's got God. And Cat Stevens flipped out. He said, oh, my God, you got something to say. And wrote out a little note to me. And I read the note later, and it had Barry and Jackie Cross, 13th floor of the Warner Brothers building, Los Angeles, California, and their telephone number. And I went to L.A. and met with his managers. His managers thought I was just too green because I'd only been playing a year, but they thought my music was really, really interesting. They told me to keep working on it and check back with them later, you know. And so that being said, I got a chance to have someone introduce me to Bill Graham, the manager of the Grateful Dead, not the minister, the San Francisco music mogul. And Bill Graham started putting me in the Fillmore West to open for people like Stephen Stills, Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young. And then I went on the road, and I opened for Muddy Waters. I got a standing ovation at Ohio State University when I opened for Muddy Waters. And then when I opened for John Lee Hooker at Ohio State, people started standing up and screaming. And John Lee Hooker thought I was as famous as he was. I said, no, Mr. Hooker, I'm famous in this room because I was here with Muddy Waters, right? Okay. And so I just started experiencing all these things that I never really thought I would experience. And I had fans. My fans had millions of fans. And then Les Brown let me open for him musically and poetically several times, and boy, did that make me feel good, you know, to let me open before he came out to speak.
Oh, that was awesome. I bet you were on top of the world.
Oh, let me tell you, I was like the cat's pajamas there.
Now, you recently signed to an international record deal. Which songs do you think hold the most potential for our listeners today?
Well, you know, now you've caught me unprepared, but I was gonna bring the lyrics to the song into my office with me, but I'm gonna tell you the song. The song is called Thoughts, right? Uh-huh. And it's on my CD and streamed on Spotify, and it's streamed worldwide on all of the music. But the song is called Thoughts. And I'm going to give you most of the lyrics because the song is almost 5 minutes long. It starts off with, I ask my elf servant of my higher self, why should thoughts be controlled? And she complied to help. Oh, I forgot to say, the subconscious mind is female. So I'm sorry for you macho dudes out there who got something against femininity. You got a little girl that lives inside of you. And that's why it's so hard for you to listen, because you don't want to listen to women. I had to say that. I'm going to make y'all mad, but I don't care.
So
she says, I am your thought genie. You created me. I'm all your thoughts collected, your id entity. Your desire to know the truth is what has brought me here. When the student is ready, the teacher will appear. If you let your mind wander any way you please, soon your health will wander yonder, and pretty soon you'll sneeze. If you let your mind ponder on what you think you need, mental garden you will plunder by producing need weed seeds. But let me show you a better way, my friend. We can claim the day, bring this darkness to an end. We must have faith, for all of us create in our innate divinity. You see, if on the other hand you ponder bright sunshine, thoughts you will find produced after their own kind, thoughts non-discreet could give you aching feet. Thoughts held of lack might give you an aching back. Thoughts of self-derision could give you rheumatism. Watch out for the grumps, because you might get the mumps. Some say the black man's thoughts of hate darken his vehicles, and the bad vibrations turn into sails shaped like sickles, while the silent majority ponders thoughts of hate, which in turn turns into tomorrow's earthquakes. Selfishness, top of the list of the things I would not do. One day you will understand this, that your small self isn't you. Undress this selfishness. See it for what it is. You'll find this impishness is just a gang of fears. If you turn on the light, the clouds begin to clear. We must believe in our own divinity. You see, the slave, he thinks the slave master is at fault. The slave master hates anyone who can be bought. But the liberated man loves them both the same, but refrains from their ignorant games. Now the fat politician can't stoop so low, has his shoes tied together in the superstition of a karmic bow, and they all pray together, P-R-E-Y, as we all know, as they reap just what they sow. And we live in daily friction of cosmic contradiction, and all of our afflictions are emotional addictions. In daily superstition of self-imposed restrictions. So, physician, heal thyself, because what you thought is what you caught.
Oh, wow.
and let's tell them I'm 76 years of age, and I didn't have a note in front of me.
I'm telling you, that was truly, truly awesome. And, I mean, and, you know, I've went to some of your performances, and I just see how you just mesmerize your guests. It's I've never seen anybody like you before. You can just grab everybody's attention with your music, because it's so different.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, what I want to talk to these young artists about, please let me teach you how to get to know your inner child, because you want to be creative, and you want to rap, and I one of the first song on my CD is a rap song, and as a matter of fact, I, if you don't mind, I'll give you a few lyrics to it. This is called Zen, but first I want to talk about thoughts. I would like for everybody to listen to thoughts for 21 days just before you go to sleep and when you wake up in the morning. This song is designed to teach you the law of attraction. If you listen to this song, you will learn things about the law of attraction. And so the other thing I was going to say is that when people say that, Dr. Burton can do spoken word or rap, the young people start to smile like they're expecting something really corny. You're right. And so I'll drop something like, I wrote this in 1978. Now, you tell me whether it's still pertinent or not. It says, this is Zen and the Tao of Jones, T-A-O. It says, and that's the first song on my CD. It says, placebos have no side effects. Fried ice cream has no bones. Amoebas don't make good house pets because they split and leave you all alone. And the stock market's going to crash soon as these robots get their checks cashed. And the government's going to react soon as the Soviets give our stats back. As robots disco to the beat and androids dream of electric sheep, we're taught as children to compete and wonder why we never feel complete. And I said, I'm moving to California. And my friend said, I want to warn you. And I said, no matter what you've been taught, it ain't San Andreas' fault that the stock market's going to crash soon as you robots get your checks cashed and the government's going to react soon as the Soviets give our stats back. So the government has a rubber mint. This is a fact I'm sure they will denounce. They paid a rubber check for the deficit, but it had more bounce for the ounce. So the stock market is going to crash soon as these robots get their checks cashed, and the government is going to react soon as the Soviets give our stats back. So the government has a resident. 'Tis a fact I'm sure they will denounce. I said they paid a rubber check for their deficit, but it had more bounce for the ounce. So if the dividend we're seeking is a peace for Mother Earth, then we must invest in people taking stock in their self-worth.
Wow. Yes, that definitely.
And I wrote that in 1978, and you tell me whether it's applicable today or not.
Yes, yes, it is definitely very applicable today. Oh, yeah. Wow.
So the subconscious knows things that we just don't know. And we don't know.
Yes, that's true. That's so, so true, I tell you. Now tell us how you learned that forgiveness was a major key to success.
Well, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to share with you a story about me teaching this process to someone in prison. You know, I did workshops in institutions for over 30 years. And so, as a matter of fact, I'll tell you the story, and then I'll explain the dynamics behind it. I walked into the Hammond Road Detention Center, and I had 15 guys in my class. And I said, if you ain't willing to forgive baby's mama, you know, your life is going to be trashed forever. You know? And so one of the clients actually was sitting at my desk 6 months later. And when he explained to me what he was experiencing while I was in his class, while he was in my class, you know, I became very, very interested in his story. He said, Dr. Burton, when you came and did that class, I was looking at 19 and a half years. And I said, what? I said, are they looking for you? Because he's sitting at my desk. You know, 6 months later, he's sitting in my office, right?
Right.
And I said, he's supposed to be doing 19 and a half years. He said, no. But when you started telling me about affirmations, visualizations, meditation, and all of that, and the power of the subconscious mind, he said, and you walked in and you said, you got to forgive baby's mama. He said, I wasn't having any problems with the mother of my children. He said, but my cousin had borrowed my car, gone to another county, got busted selling drugs, and said the drugs were mine because they were in my car, right? And I was looking at 19 and a half years, and I was angry, and I was never going to forgive him because I was telling them that if you don't forgive people, you're holding them down, and you got to stay down with them. You know, I think Martin Luther King or somebody very lucid said, if you hold a man down, you got to stay down with him. So he said, excuse me. He said, I decided to forgive my cousin who set me up, right? And he said, man, before I started forgiving people and doing affirmations and visualizations, he said, every time the lawyer came to visit me, they had worse news than the one before, right? And he said, I started doing that, and you told me just before I go to sleep to use positive affirmations and that my subconscious mind would absorb it as I was going into sleep, right? And so he said, I started doing this, and And he also said, I didn't tell him to read the Bible. He also said, and I read the Bible just after, before going to sleep also. He said, Dr. Braden, when I started doing what you told me to do, every time my lawyer came in to talk to me after that, the news got better and better and better. He said, eventually, they put me on parole and sent me home. They realized that he was innocent, right? But, you know, they'd already charged him, so they didn't try to let all that, they just let him go, you know. And he said, so I am here because you taught me forgiveness and changed my life. So I called the staff at Community Success. I said, do you mind telling this story again? He said, no, I don't mind telling this story. And I said, this guy was doing 19 and a half years when he was in my class in the institution, and that was 6 months ago. Now tell them what happened. And he told my class, my staff this story, and they just cracked up. They just loved it. You know. So the subconscious mind has unlimited wealth, you know, available from the higher self.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Now, tell my listeners, because, you know, when I was in college, mm-hmm. they had these kids 10 years old in college, geniuses.
And wow, that's true, like, true.
I'm walking around like, I'm thinking I'm smart, right? You got these 10 years old and these 8-year-old kids going to college with me. So explain how that happened.
Well, I'll tell you. Your mother and your grandmother told you how it happened. Those were old souls. That's right. Sent from the spirit side of life. Those were old souls. You know, and the. It's funny, I'm 76 years old, and I'm talking about old folks, right? But they had some wisdom, you know, that we have let slip, you know. They had some wisdom. You could get sick, and they'd go out in the backyard, out in the field, and pull up a weed and boil it and chop it up, make you drink it, and it tastes like I don't know what, and you'd feel
right?
better.
Exactly.
Yeah, so they had a whole lot of wisdom. Yeah, so, yeah, some people are just more in tune with their souls. The more connected you are with your souls, I believe, the more, shall I say, evolved you are.
Yeah, that I'm telling you, that truly, truly blew my mind to see these kids
yes.
walking on campus with me. And at this point, I think
yeah,
I was
books,
not in my 20s because this was my second college going to. And I'm
right.
like, wow, is this
and the
real
books,
or what?
Books are bigger than them.
they can't
hardly carry their books. They didn't have computers back then.
Yeah, and they read so much, the little eyeglasses were thick as I don't know what. I was like,
yes.
if this is a Poindexter or what, you know what I mean?
Really? Seriously. So I didn't get into the meat of the subconscious, but I want to tell people this. We have four brainwave frequencies. One is called the beta brainwave frequency. Now, if you're a person to take notes, you need to write this down. We have beta brainwave frequency. We have alpha brainwave frequency. We have the theta brainwave frequency, and we have the delta brainwave frequency. Now, beta is where most people live, okay? And in that brainwave frequency, now you know, when I tell people, what is beta, theta, alpha, what's the first thing that comes to your mind?
Greek philosophy.
Yeah, Greek philosophy, because you were heavy duty. But most people would just think of Greek alphabet and Greek sororities and fraternities. they wouldn't go the next step to Greek philosophy like he did. But they would think, but I say all these college kids go to school and they say, I'm an alpha and I'm this and I'm that, and they have no idea about the wisdom that has not been shared with them. And I'm going to share it with you right now.
All right,
you see,
ready.
When you live in the beta brainwave frequency, you are the kind of person who allows your environment to tell you who you are. You see, because, for instance, people in the institutions, they If they're in the beta brain, they let their institution, that penal institution, tell them where they are, and they become institutionalized, you know? And they're more comfortable in prison than they are out. They unconsciously do things to get them back in prison where they'll be comfortable again, you see?
Exactly.
So I always ask my young people when I'm doing lectures in universities, I said, Muhammad Ali, first thing I heard Muhammad Ali said is, I am the greatest. Sent chills up and down my spine. I'd never heard a black man say that. I am the greatest, you know? Mm-hmm. And I said, what brainwave frequency did he live in? And some they don't know sometimes, so I say, okay, in the beta brainwave frequency, your environment tells you who you are. If he lived in the beta brainwave frequency, he would have said, am I the greatest?
Right.
But, excuse me, he was living in the alpha brainwave frequency, so he said, I am the greatest. I like to say, when I'm speaking, that I wasn't there when Moses met God, but God didn't say, am I? Moses said, who are you? God didn't say, am I? God said, I am.
Yes, right? He did.
Right? And so when we walk through life, we can have one life or we can have the other life. We can tell our environment who we are, or we can let our environment tell us who we are. We're going to get dubious experiences when we let our environment tell us who we are. Now, you've heard of the alpha male or the alpha gorilla, right?
Mm-hmm.
You never heard of the beta male or the beta gorilla, right?
No.
Because you can't have any distinction if you let your environment tell you who you are, because you change environments. You're somebody else. Don't nobody know. You don't know who you are. Don't nobody else know who you are. You know? So you have to be able to tell your environment who you are. And so, these two brainwave frequencies are the predominant brainwave frequency. And unfortunately, most people live in beta, not in alpha. Now,
right.
When you're meditating, you slow your brain down to get to alpha. In other words, let me tell you this. You can count to 10 backwards, and your brainwave frequency will shift from beta to alpha. Just by counting to 10 backwards, that focus will have your brainwave frequency change. So then you're in the alpha state. They used to say when people were into spanking kids, and my parents were,
too.
They would say count to 10 before you spank your child. And because that's lucid. That means that you won't be angry. You won't let your anger tell you who you are, right? Your love mm-hmm. for your kid would tell you who you are. You might tap them a little bit and just to frighten them and get their attention, and then you won't harm them. So it's very important that people learn how to take 10 deep breaths before they respond in certain situations. For instance, I am not a mechanic, but we were on a vacation and a woman's car was having trouble. And God, allowed me to fix it. Right? Don't ask me, you know. And I fixed the car, and she was so – but what happened was – some of the people around didn't think that she was grateful enough, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was just grateful that I could help her, right? Let me tell you, a year later, that lady did a favor for me and put thousands of dollars in my pocket.
Wow.
You know, I had no idea that she had those skills, right? But I was just helping her because she's just a woman and needed help. If she'd been a man, we needed help, I would have helped her. But you just don't know, you know, what's happening. So being kind to others is just the best way to go. But I have found out that as we move from beta to alpha, then if we slow down our brainwave frequency more, have you ever tried to meditate and go to sleep? Has that ever happened to you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you know what happens? You slip out of alpha into theta. Theta is dream sleep, right? That's a dream sleep. And then if you slip into delta, that's deep and dreamless sleep. So when you're meditating, you really have to kind of get a balance and a feel so you don't slip deeper in. It's kind of like you're trying to say, and I'm going to talk about. I'm not going to talk about the people who built the pyramids because we all know that our ancestors knew a lot of stuff other people didn't know. But I'm going to just talk about people in America. Mm-hmm. Benjamin Franklin, I think Napoleon Hill taught him how to meditate, right? Or maybe he taught, I don't know. Anyway, the way Benjamin Franklin meditated was, he called it sitting for ideas. But he probably learned how to meditate from Neville Goddard, who learned how to meditate from Abdullah. Now, Abdullah was the same person who taught Joseph Murphy, who taught Reverend Ike, okay? Now, Reverend Ike taught Herbert Harris, our mentor, okay? Right. You see how this fits together, you know? Mm-hmm. But anyway, Benjamin Franklin learned from somebody in that group. That sitting for ideas was calming down past the beta brainwave frequency into alpha, and then he would go to sleep, and he would lose his idea. So he got him a ring of keys, right, so that when he slipped into the theta state, which is dream sleep, his hand would relax, and the keys would fall on the floor. So they would wake him up, and he'd write down his ideas, and then go back into meditation holding the keys. Now, he taught Henry Ford how to do it. Henry Ford used ball bearings, right? Mm-hmm. And he would go into meditation, and when he fall asleep, the ball bearings would hit the floor and wake him up. I was reading a book once that was about 4 inches thick. Now, you know, when a brother pick up a book that's 4 inches thick, he's serious, right?
Yes.
Right. And so this book was about Warren Buffett, and I was going to read this book. Right in the middle of the book, I got to a paragraph that said, Warren Buffett tells his secretary, when Warren Buffett is meditating, he tells his secretary to come in every 15 minutes and make sure he's not asleep. His secretary was Benjamin Franklin's ring of keys and Henry Ford's ball bearings, right? I said, Warren Buffett does this? Oh, my God, no wonder he's so rich. I was just shocked. But if I'd have been intimidated by this book, I would have never found out that Warren Buffett knew some of the things that we know.
Yeah, that's a fact.
And his life, it's obvious. He's a philanthropist, and he's mm-hmm. a very powerful guy. Gave away half of his money, and it didn't even make any difference. I mean, to him. Didn't change his lifestyle. Didn't change his lifestyle at all.
I tell you. Well, Dr. Burton, it has really been awesome having you on my show again. You really dropped us some nuggets, and I want my listeners to take that and run with it. Get
sure.
into that subconscious mind, because I'm telling you, it will produce you to success.
Now, you know what's so funny? We got so much into this information. You know, you forgot to tell them about your pretandem, and I forgot to tell them about my transfer factor. But this lady has a product that removes 1 million free radicals from your body. So go to her. I think it's Linda@LifeVantage.com. Is that it? Or should they go to LindaMonroe.com?
And no, they should go to Linda@LifeVantage.com.
Right,
for the
pretandem. Right,
yeah.
Right. And so my workshop is, I mean, my workshop, I'm so pleased. My website is forlife.com/665-2348, but you can find it at williamdburton.com. Actually, that's the easiest way, williamdburton.com, and you can find my music there and everything too. But I'd like to tell you that my wife and I, in 2010, my wife started distributing immune boosters to elite athletes, and we discovered that the product really boosts the immune system. Then later we discovered that the product was in the physician's desk reference manual, but we didn't know it. You know, my people perish for lack of knowledge. You know, so we didn't know it was in the physician's desk reference manual, and I'm not putting doctors down now, because that book is thick too, you know, and it's hard to know everything that's in that book, you know. But this product boosts the immune system, and so when Kojic lost 30 bishops to COVD, two elite athletes started to introduce this to Bishop Blake, and it seems that Bishop Blake is embracing the product as a way to boost the immune system of his bishops and congregation, and I'm loving that.
Hallelujah.
So we'll see how that goes. But all of that information, it's PubMed peer-reviewed, 2100 PubMed peer reviews. It's Olympic approved, and the Olympics have never, both Protandim, your Protandim and Transfect, are Olympic approved. The Olympics have never poisoned anybody for 90 years. So please research, and if you go to YouTube and research these two products, you're going to be amazed. You're just going to be amazed. So I just wanted to tag that on to the end, because this is the time that we need to strengthen and boost our immune systems.
Yeah, that's a fact. And I want to thank you again. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You're
sure, you're quite welcome. Thank you for having me on your show.
To me. You are so, so knowledgeable. And that's, you know, that's why I try to tell these young kids, reading is power. Because if you would have been intimidated by that book you picked up about Warren Buffett, you'd have never known his story.
Exactly. But, one little nugget in the middle of the book that I
did.
I don't know anything about investing.
He made sure you got half through that book to find out that nugget.
That's right. When I found that nugget, I found what I was looking for. he validated what I was teaching people, you know, and that's what I wanted. I wanted people to know that I teach the truth. And, I'm sorry. I think we're going over time here. But I got to shout out to Mike Williams, Les Brown's teacher. He has no way of knowing how much he inspired me. I was also quite inspired by Les Brown. I've been very inspired by Mr. Herbert Harris. And I want to shout out to these people, because I wouldn't be who I am without them.
And I shout out to Dr. Harris either, and you too, Dr. Burton, because
you
all got me on the path as well. And
I have grown
so much since I have met you two. So I really appreciate and love you, and thank you for coming into my life.
It's wonderful. Yeah, it's wonderful to watch you blossom.
Yes, you know, Dr. Harris said the same thing. But I tell you, I am at peace, all is well, and I am so grateful for the people that God is bringing in my life, and I cannot forget my coach, Benny Randall Jr., the motivator. Go to BashaniRadio.com.
I read his bio the other day.
I read
his bio. Brother got something going on.
Let me tell you, we finna go into the TV business. He gonna fuss me out about letting it out the water, but
I tell you what. I tell you what, he's gonna receive a resume from me.
Get ready. Because
I want to be right there with you all, you know.
I know that's right. Well, again, I thank you. And
yes,
kind of drop something for these young single mothers, because, you know, like you said, that subconscious mind is so powerful. And if they just knew how to get it to their kids, we can wreck this world.
Oh, sure. I think I have a word for them. As I said before, when you tell a house plant that you love it, right, it grows, right? And
right.
If you tell a house plant that you hate it, it doesn't grow. Now, some children in the fifth grade were given this exercise, and I tell people all the time, they didn't hate the plant or love the plant, right?
Right.
They did what their teacher told them to do, and the experience worked. So when you're reading a book, your mind is actually spelling words really quickly, right? So you don't even get that it's spelling the word, so you know what it is. And so we forget that the word that word spell, S P E L L, is literally a spell, right?
Okay.
And so we can actually cast the spell with our words. What does the scripture say? You know, the tongue, life or death, right?
Is in the power of the tongue.
So these children were telling these plants, I hate you and I love you, and they didn't really mean it, right?
Uh-huh.
So when you're talking to your children, tell them you love them, and you mean it, so it has even more power. Tell your children that you love them. Tell your children that they're great. Look for the successes. Don't look for the screw-ups in your children. And I'm telling you this from experience, not from a competent parent, but from having a competent parent. At 3 years old, I asked my mother where I came from, and she said, baby, and I can hear the words in my ears like honey, right? She said, baby, you are a gift from God.
No,
oh, my God. I thought I was somebody.
So
my mama started planting what you're getting today. She started planting this tree at 3 years old, right?
Mm-hmm.
She started planting this tree of you are a child of God. You are a gift from God. You are somebody, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we want to do to our kids. Even when they're in your stomach,
yes.
Let me tell you, they're just like that little house plant. Tell them that you love them, even if you're having problems with baby daddy. It's not their business.
Right.
Tell them that you love them while you are carrying them. And when they hit the ground, tell them that they're special and that they're somebody and that they're going to be somebody. Don't ever tell your child you ain't going to never be nothing. You know, I never heard that in my life. And people used to ask me, who do you think you are?
Right.
A gift from God.
Exactly.
It's been planted in my subconscious, right? A gift from God. You may not accept it, but that's what I am.
Yeah, I have a little great-grandson. His mother named him Carter, so my mom mm-hmm. calls him President.
So that's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. Your mom is on the good foot.
Oh, yeah. So we let him know right now you can grow up to be the president of the United States of America, honey.
Exactly. And he has a wonderful example. He has a wonderful
yes.
example, right?
Yes.
Because he can see pictures of Mr. Obama and I don't want to get political, but I know a whole bunch of people are wishing he was back.
I know.
But you know what I told my friend?
What?
I came on social media, though, and I calmed down. I said, I know some of y'all voted for the other guy, but I ain't mad at you. Come on to my website and get some of my immune boosters, right? I'm inviting y'all voted for him. I don't care. I'm forgiving all that. That's in the past. You know, I ain't mad at you. He did what you thought you were supposed to do. We got now, right? We can't do nothing about then. We got now. So come on in. You're welcome to. You know, I'm not saying this is just for Democrats, you know.
All right. Okay. Well, broadcasting live from Vashani Radio, iHeart, iTunes, and Spotify, live from New York City, this is the Linda Monroe Show, and I am Linda Monroe. If you want to know more about me and what I do, go to lindamonroe.com. Again, go to Google Play and download vashaniradio.com so you can listen to our broadcast on the go. Also, my bestseller book is out, Overcoming All Odds. Go to lindamonroe.com and order your copy today. All is well, and until next week, be blessed. Thank you again, Dr. Burton, for taking time to do this interview with me today.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All new Vashani Radio app for iPhone and Android. You may be in quarantine, but you are not home alone.